Can you hear me? Is this on?
Yes.
Great. I don't always do props, but this morning I do have my props, but this is what I wear often. I love to fish. I love to fly fish, most of all. Again, my name is Connie Weisskopf. Thank you, Warren, and thank you for letting me be here this morning. I've probably spoken with the Longmont Christian Businessmen's Association every year for the last probably 19 years. The first time they invited me, and they keep asking me back, so I must do okay. Amen. So again, I recently shared this same message with the Longmont Christian Businessmen's Association, but just like God's word, the more we hear something, the more God gives us, and He gives me new revelation all the time. When I share a message or when I'm reading His word, there's certain things that He just begins to speak to my heart. And so, how many of you like to fish? A lot of you. I picked up fishing probably 25, 30 years ago, fly fishing. Growing up in Colorado, we fished a lot, but I didn't love lake fishing. And so my background is I'm an artist as well. And so God blessed my art for many years before He called me into the ministry of the pregnancy resource centers. I will tell you, I told Him no the first time He asked me to become a director. I was a volunteer at a pregnancy resource center, and I had my career. And so when God called me to be the director, took it to prayer, and of course, say yes to the Father when He speaks to us. And so knowing His voice is very important as well. When He's leading and guiding and directing us, to know His voice. He became my best friend, and I fell madly in love with Him when I gave my life to Christ at 31. I grew up in the church, but didn't have a relationship with the Father. And so when my life went off the rails very quickly without Him in my life, when I was in college, I dated a man very briefly who, when I told him he wasn't the guy that I was going to marry, didn't take that as a no, and broke into my home five separate times and raped me at gunpoint. And I became pregnant. And so abortion just became legal at that time. And so the advice that I was given was, this will solve your problem. If you terminate this child, it will solve your problem. Well, it doesn't solve any problems because the baby wasn't the problem. The rapist was the problem. I was a problem because my lifestyle too I wasn't living a godly lifestyle. And so I terminated that child and spiraled my life downhill from there. And so we see that in the pregnancy care center. We often used to say a woman can't abort a child unless she herself has been aborted in some way in her life, whether it's abuse or neglect or abandonment. And so helping women and men know who they are in Christ, helping them to see, that there is a hope and a future, and pregnancy doesn't have to waylay any of that, doesn't have to impact their lives in a way, with the support and the help that the pregnancy care centers do. With Warren here, I'm sure most of you know what a pregnancy care center does. Is there anybody who doesn't know what they do? But so, again, we help women and men, navigate that time in their life, and hopefully they choose life. And we've been able to do that since 2019 here in Boulder. I don't always catch fish when I'm out on the river, but I love catching the big fish. And again, I'm not a preacher, I'm a teacher of the word, and so I use notes. And I need notes. I love catching big fish, though. It's so fun to reel them in. And when I'm out on the river, I gotta know what's the water look like? Is it fast? Is it high? What's hatching on the river as a fly fisherman? I don't reel fish, so I don't know what you guys use, but I need to know what the equipment is that I need on the river. And just as a fisherman of men, we need to know who we're talking to. We need to know what kind of bait. I don't really love using that word with people, but as fishers of men that God called us to be, we need to know the equipment. We need to know the word of God. That's our bottom line equipment is the word of God. And I love catching big fish, but mostly what I love being out on the river is it's my quiet time with the Father. I'm listening to him all the time when I'm out there, you know, Connie, no, don't fish here. You know, looking and seeing what is hatching, you know, that's my quiet time. So I'm often fishing by myself. I did promise my mama before she died at 95 this last year that I wouldn't be in the rivers that are really high and fast over my thighs. And so when I'm out by myself, I listen to my mama's voice too, who is such a great mom who read the word to us as little children, having that foundation. So listening to him. One day I was fishing actually up, I won't tell you which river because I never give away my rivers anymore. There's too many people out there. But I had just caught 11 fish in this hole. And so I was having a great day. And I do release. People make fun of me because when I take the hooks out of their mouths, I pray over the fish for them to be healed. And then I let them go because our God is a healer. And they're just so beautiful. Again, I have a hard time killing them, but I love catching them. And I looked across the river. I had just caught a fish. I looked across. It was probably about 8 feet away, and I saw two cubs. They were maybe ewes. And the first words out of my mouth were Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. And the water was shallow, and I knew if there were two young ones, there was a mama probably close by. So always, you know, because I know my Jesus, he's the power that we have. I'm listening to him. Those two kind of scattered off into the woods, and I got off that part of the river. I took my fish off the hook, and watched. And so as I got up off that part of the river, I walked upstream a little ways and started going down. And I heard the Father say, no. I'm like, yeah, but I just caught 11 out of there. You know, I argue with him often, but I always listen in the end, hopefully. And so I got off the river that day because, you know, I don't know what he kept me from getting into. Could have been the mama, could have been, you know, anything. But listening to the voice of the Father, we seldom know all the things that God has kept us protected from. I think maybe someday we'll know, but it doesn't matter if we're listening to the Father, if we know what his word says to us and we know his voice. I was very, very blessed in the beginning of my walk with the Father that I got to spend 14 hours a day in his word, just spending time getting to know this Jesus that I just fell in love with because he paid the price for me at the cross. I wanted to know everything he had for me. Everything that he paid the price for me to have at the cross, and that was healing. God says he came to save us. That word saved is the word sozo. And that word sozo means healed, prospered, forgiven, set free. He just didn't die for us to go to heaven when we leave this world. He died for us to have this exceeding abundant life here. Healed, prospered, forgiven, set free. And some of you know my story a little bit that God miraculously healed me of cancer by the power of the Word of God. And so I share about God's miraculous healings wherever I can go because so many people are in need of healing, whether it's emotional, spiritual, or physical. So I lay hands on the sick. I've seen many people. I'd say I probably prayed for 100 people before I saw one healed. But you know what? God says we'd be doing greater things than He. And when I first gave my life to Christ, I'm like, God, I don't see even the things that you did do, people doing. How can we be doing greater things? But he told us we could. So in Matthew 28:18, he said, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age.'" He is living in us as believers in Jesus Christ. You know, it's not Connie's power. I have nothing, but because of Jesus in us, we have it all. We can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. We can pray for this, pray for people and see them, you know, if, you know, have a sound mind. Especially these days, I see so many young people struggling with mental illness. I truly believe it's an attack of the enemy. Satan's on the prowl. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And without Jesus, Satan has reign. And so letting people know about this amazing Jesus, you know, being fishers of men, helping them to know that Jesus didn't just come to die for you to be in heaven. He came for you to live that exceeding life here, to be fishers of men. Just as again, we need equipment to be fishermen, we need to be equipped to be fishers of men. Putting on the full armor of God is one of those ways to be ready, and at all times and everything we need. I have, you know, I probably have three rods and five reels and tons of flies because I just think flies are beautiful. And so being equipped with all of God's word so that we can be those fishers of men. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, the devil only has wiles. What does that mean? He has lies and deception, but we believe his lies and his deception. And we take that on sometimes. So he doesn't have power, but we give him power oftentimes because we believe that his wiles. And so it's important that we stand and we put on the armor of God, the word, you know, being prepared in all times to give, you know, a reason why we're believers in Jesus Christ. And I don't know if you guys have, you know, like your testimony. God says, "They will know me by your testimony." To have a 2 minute, 2 second, whatever testimony to tell people how, you know, with me, it was like I lived with the first 31 years really without following and having a relationship with Christ. And so it's easy for me to see how God changed my life from the moment I fell in love with him and surrendered my life to him. And so we need to be prepared to be able to share with others, you know, why we have a relationship with him. Especially, it's important to have that shield of faith, which wards off the opposition from demonic forces. Here in Boulder, we have a lot of cults. I don't know if you know that Boulder, Colorado has more cults than any other place in the United States. They actually have a cult squad that I got to talk with. I first got involved with the FBI here in Boulder, and then they let me know that there's a cult squad in Boulder that investigates all the cults. They really kind of try to investigate those that are on the campus trying to proselytize and, you know, gain students. So they're searching. They want something, and they're finding all these other things, but what they're needing is Jesus Christ. So for us, you know, I can't catch fish if I don't go to the water. I have to go where the water is to be able to catch fish. And so you need to go out and find and be where they are and be, you know, even if it's, you know, in the grocery store, be prepared. God might have you just speak two words to somebody who's standing in front of you that might make all the difference in the world. We never know what one word can change a life or what one thing could change a life for Jesus Christ. That one of the clients that came to the center said, "How could I carry this baby to term? I can't even afford a pair of eyeglasses." Well, I got on email and sent out an email to our donors and said, "I have a little girl who needs eyeglasses." Now, she wanted the most expensive eyeglasses. And so God provided those expensive eyeglasses for her,
Wow.
which showed her the love of Jesus Christ and those that, support and honor the ministry that we do. And she has that little baby, and she often sends me pictures of she had a little boy, and she is just madly in love with this little boy. But we never know what bait, what fly is going to be needed to speak truth and life and love and grace to somebody. So Jesus called four men, first of all, to follow him in Mark 1, 14 through 15. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. It's not you're going to hell news. It's the good news. Jesus preached the good news, and he wants us to preach the good news. My good friend Andrew Womack often says that almost too good to be true good news of Jesus Christ. And I love that because as of when I gave my life, it seemed too good to be true that this Jesus would forgive a woman like me, who is a sinner, who, I went on to terminate two more of my children after I terminated that child from rape because it changed my heart. And that's what I see. We see women and men increase drug abuse, alcohol, promiscuity, making that decision again because it hardens your heart until God. People were fishers and they came to me. I had a brother who was a believer. He first invited me back to church. Again, as a little girl, we went to church all the time. My mama read the word, but I needed to know that this Savior loved me. And so the first time, people were like, it was a prayer meeting and people were laying in the pews, raising their hands. And I thought, this is wacky. And I got up and left. And I was invited back to that same church by a sister who knew the Lord. And that time was the time I ran forward and said, "God, thank you." And I fell madly, passionately in love with this Jesus because I knew at that moment that he forgave this sinner of all the things. I thought the sins that I made were the worst sins in the world, that I took the lives of my three children. But yet here was this God waiting for me, waiting for fishermen to come and reel me into back to church and say, "Connie, this is what you need." My family knew my life was a mess, and they're like, "She needs Jesus." And we see so many people around us that need Jesus. And so when he called the fishermen, they were just ordinary people. They weren't the Sadducees, and they were just ordinary fishermen, but they left immediately. He says they picked up their nets and they followed him immediately. What love they must have seen from this father that they would go immediately to follow him. Now, I think they still, probably fished because I see that further in the word, but mostly they were disciples of Jesus Christ. When God again called me into this ministry, I wasn't as good as the disciples. I said no at first, and then, of course, took it to prayer and want to be with my Jesus. And when God called me to be part of the Boulder Pregnancy Resource Center, it was going to be a drop in my salary, about half in the very beginning. And so it took a faith of God for me to do that because, as I was sharing, and Steve and Warren know, my husband had gone off the rails and is now an alcoholic and a drug addict and hadn't worked for many years. So I was the only one bringing in any kind of money. He, of course, was spending all our money on drugs, alcohol, and anything else he could spend his money on as he sat in his chair. But the thing that grieved my heart the most, and I shared this with the men in Longmont, was the fact that he no longer followed Jesus Christ. The fact that he stopped going to church with me. The fact that he no longer read the word and looked to Jesus Christ as his provider. He now looked to alcohol and drugs to fill a place in his heart that I couldn't, that because Jesus could fill, but he walked away from that. And that's the grievous part as a wife, to see your husband walk away from the Father. when he knew the Lord. And so I'm praying for my husband. He had a traumatic brain injury back in November at a drunken alcoholic seizure where he bonked his head, split his head open, has two brain bleeds, had to learn how to walk and talk. And I will tell you, I was bitter. You know, I admitted to the Father, I don't care anymore. If you take him home today, I'd be really happy. Because he, you know, he bankrupted us. He, you know, but God, he hasn't drank since November. He isn't, you know, seeking the Lord yet, but I believe it. You know, God has given this man a second chance. And so we just have to continue to fish. You know what? I throw him, you know, flies every now and then about the word and how God is blessing my life and how God is blessing the center and how God is moving every single day in me. You know, every day we grow, we learn more. I learn more about fishing. I learn more about being a fisher of men as I go along. And so, you know, I'm more obedient to the Father the more that I get to know him. And I want to help other people to know that, you know, to hear, to know what the Father's word says and to be able to know his voice. My husband asked me one time, how do you hear from the Lord? Because he doesn't hear anymore because he isn't in the word. He doesn't know the Father's voice. He's listening to his own and he's listening to the enemy right now. And so how you get to know the Father's voice is by spending time in his word and knowing, being that intimate, intimate relationship with him. What does it mean to follow him? The Lord asked the disciples, you know, right away to make disciples. He didn't call us to save everybody, but he did call us to make disciples. Now, yes, people need to be saved. They need to know Jesus Christ, and walking them through a little word or a prayer might just get them saved and stuck. Now they need to be discipled. And I love, you know, trying to get clients back into the center so that they can be discipled. And every time it's an opportunity to plant a seed, to bait a hook, or however you want to put that, to, you know, plant more seeds in their hearts. And again, as fishers of men, we are all called to make disciples, not just some of us. We are all priests. You know, a priest is just somebody who shares the word of God. A preacher, he's called us to be preachers. A preacher is just somebody who shares the word of God. And so we're called to save people again, but we're called to disciple most of all. But I can't disciple people if I don't know my own Father. I don't know what he's done and provided for me. You know, again, when I gave my life to Christ, I wanted to know everything there was to know about this Jesus who saved me. And again, he had healing for me. I kept reading that. So when I came up against, you know, cancer, I was like, I know God's word says by his stripes, I am healed. So I went to somebody who I saw when they prayed, people got well. But I didn't know at the time that I had that same saving power living inside me, that I can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. And so by reading the word and studying, I mean, I did word studies on what God did at the cross. And so knowing what he did and paid the price for us to have is so important. So listening, again, opening the center meant a change of life for me and my husband. But I will tell you, every day I am filled, full, you know, giving up. I knew I had to give up my life as an artist, but I didn't give it up completely. I do try to do maybe one show a year. This last year I didn't because of my husband's accident and because my mama got sick and I spent time with her. But I still do that. But my heart is filled, overflowing. I will tell you, every day when I get to minister to my volunteers, my staff. Most of the time, my volunteers are meeting with our clients now, but I love that part of the ministry too, being able to share and get a young girl and a young man to change their minds and know that they have hope and a future because of Jesus Christ. And that there's supporters out there who love this ministry, who give into the ministry and help us do what we do. And so one of the fishing stories that I love to share is, you know, I was out on the pooter. I will tell you that one. And I
Yeah.
used to catch a lot of fish out on the pooter. But if you ever fish the pooter, it's calm, and then all of a sudden a wind will come up through the canyon. And a wind caught came. I was just in a cast. The wind came up, hook caught me in the neck.
Oh.
I'm like, darn. I'm like, I can get this out,
Oh.
So I'm tugging and pulling, and I couldn't get it out. So I saw some men down further on the river, and so I'm like, I'm gonna drive back down there and see if these guys can help me get this hook out of my neck. And I, these guys were panning for gold on the Poudre Bleu.
Wow.
I said, you can find gold here? And they're like, yeah, we read it online. So they were from Boca Raton, Florida.
Oh my gosh.
And they'd come to Fort Collins, and the Poudre Bleu was pan for gold. And
That's great.
they couldn't get this hook out of my neck too. They were kind of freaked out. And a guy in a truck pulled up, and he had some wire cutters. And I had, I have my pliers that are always on my vest. And so he just cut it off and took it through. And these guys from Boca are like, girls in Boca be crying right now. And I said, I just want to fish. And I said, are you okay if I fish this hole up above you guys? And so second cast, I caught a really nice brown. And so I'm like, okay, next time I'm going to be prepared. So I went and bought myself some wire cutters and thought that that was going to be just fine. So I'm up on the pooter again. It was several times later. And another gust of wind comes up, this time catches me in the nose. And so I'm like, oh, I'm good. So I reel my line in, cut it off, and go up to my car because I can see then. And so I'm like, I get out my wire cutters, thinking I could just cut it off and pull it through, cut the barbs off and pull it through. And I could not get this thing out of my nose. And so I'm tugging and pulling up in my car. These guys are crazy. Flies are tiny. They're not that bad. And so, and your nose isn't, I look at my nose. And so I'm like, okay, I saw some guys back in that same spot, where there's a pull up. And so I'm going to go back down there. And there were four young men who were in college there. And so I come out with my pliers and my wire cutters, and I walk up to these guys, and I said, excuse me, could you help me get this fly out of my knee? They're kind of looking at me. And so I hand the one kid my tools, and he's like, no, I can't do this. And he hands them to his buddy, and his buddy kind of comes at me for about 3 seconds and says, no, I can't do this. I'm like, it's just a fly. You cut it off, pull it through, I'll be good. And they couldn't do it. And I'm like, okay, there's a gas station at the base of the canyon before you go into the pooter. So I'm like, I'm going to go down there, see if somebody can help me get this out of my nose. And so I walk into there, and there's a guy. He's like 6'4", 200 and some pounds behind the glass at the gas station. And I lay my tools on the counter, and I said, excuse me, could you help me get this fly out of my nose? This guy grabs a wall, turns sheet white, and he goes, oh my goodness, I'm gonna pass out. And I'm like, really? I thought I was equipped with the right tools. Well, I had bought cheap wire cutters. And so learning my lesson. So I call my niece anyway, who's a PA, and I said, Megan, have you ever gotten a fly out of somebody's nose? And she goes, Aunt Connie? And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, where are you? And I said, I'm up at the pooter. And she says, there's an urgent care down the road from you. And so I said, you can't do this. She goes, no, I might scar your nose. And I said, Megan, have you seen my nose? My sisters all have these cute little tiny noses. And so I go into urgent care, same thing. They like freak out. I'm like, you guys probably see this all the time. They're like, no. And they usher me back before all these other people. And so I go back, and the doc's in there, and he looks at my nose. I goes, I can't get it out. I said, I got wire cutters and pliers in my car. I'll bring them in. You cut it off, pull it through, and I'll be good. He goes, and he kind of got mad. And so I, again, knowing what equipment we have is very important. But he did get it out of my nose. He said, no, I'll do it, but I have to use Novocaine. And I said, please, I do not want Novocaine. He said, then I'm not doing it. And I said, okay, but use a tiny amount because I really hate kind of drugs like that. And so he got it out. Before he did that, though, I said, excuse me, last time I forgot to take a selfie. So I said, excuse me, I'm going to take a selfie this time. So here's my fly in my nose, if you can see
Yeah.
that. And so they were a little freaked out, but We got it out. The reason I couldn't get it out was it had kind of lodged in the cartilage. And so I still haven't bought new pliers, but I need to do that. I haven't been back to the pooter, but I need to buy new pliers. But now what I've learned is I just pray before I get on the river. And that was a good lesson for me. It's like God has protection for us as well when we are fishing, when we're fishing for men. You know, God says he will give us the words to say too, because he's left with us the Holy Spirit. And so when we're out fishing for men, we don't always have to think that we're prepared for everything. We just need the Holy Spirit living in us so that we can be prepared with him to give a word, to share with somebody, to be fishers of men. And so I want to just encourage you to know your testimony, to know that everywhere you go is an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, it could be just a niece or a nephew, your child, or somebody at the store, or your work, wherever you go, even in church, because there's a lot of unbelieving people in church who found their way there. So if we're that example, if we're that person who knows, you know, to share Jesus, you know, with them, it's so powerful. One of the probably the hardest clients I've ever had came to the Boulder Pregnancy Resource Center. She was homeless. She was pregnant. She was going to terminate this child probably every month up until she delivered. Because in the state of Colorado, you can terminate a child up to 9 months. And the late-term abortion is where God placed us in Boulder is was just around the corner. He just retired, if everybody knows that. But the two men that were working with him, and doing the late-term abortions are opening up another clinic here in Boulder. They're looking for a place so that they can continue to do abortions up to 9 months. And so knowing that these women are out there, the men, and so the men's part of our ministry is so important too. You know Warren. Warren's the head of our men's ministry. And I'll send him. It's hard for these men to accept the help. Unfortunately, we wish more would, because men who are part of abortion, women, they think it's over. You know, the main reason women terminate is because of the gentlemen in their lives have a huge say in whether they keep that baby or not. And so knowing that, the men knowing that we have support for them is very important, so that they know they're not alone too, and that they're going to have to provide for this child, or, you know, but maybe they want to choose adoption. 2 million families in the United States right now are on a waiting list to adopt any child, any age, any ethnicity, any challenge. And so helping them know that their child would go to a loving home, these people who are vetted and paid thousands of dollars to want a child, because the infertility rate in the United States has skyrocketed because of birth control, because of other things in our nation, you know, that these women are on. The infertility rate is so high among men as well now. And so helping them know that there's hope, there's a future, that they can carry these babies to term, knowing and sharing Jesus Christ with them. But this little girl that was my toughest client, who'd been through so much, ended up giving her life to Christ. And she called me up during COVID and said, "I need to be baptized now." And so finding a church who would help us baptize this little girl was so important. I have a picture of her when she came into the center. She didn't have any ID, so we take their picture for their files. She was dark, depressed, oppressed. The picture I have of her after she got baptized that day is a glow around her. It's so beautiful. And so she calls me often, you know, because she isn't spending time in church yet, but she's going off and on, and she just needs to be discipled. I need to remain a fisher of men and women so that they can continue to be discipled and know this Jesus Christ who has provided everything that they need. So again, Keep on fishing, guys. I know I'm speaking into the choir, but I love you guys. Thanks for letting me come and share. If you have any questions about the ministry, I did bring some material. We do two fundraisers every year. We do a gala, which is, this year is on August 21st. It's our biggest fundraiser. So we need money here in Boulder to be able to do what we do. We don't charge for anything. Everything we do is free. I have a doctor and three nurses who do all our medical piece. They do pregnancy tests and ultrasounds, and they don't charge me to work for us, which helps us be in Boulder. That's just a God blessing that is unheard of, really, that they would do this for free. They're like, no, we've been paid to do this. This is ministry to Boulder and the surrounding areas and to these men and women. And then we have volunteers who come in and they're trained. We have a training going on right now. It's 21 hours of training, you know, in classroom, because they need to know how to talk about abortion, adoption, parenting, ministering, how to share the gospel. They need to be trained up to, you know, and minister to themselves sometimes before they can share this with our clients. And so we do the gala. It's at a beautiful hangar. If you haven't been to one of our galas, in a hangar at the Rocky Mountain Metropolitan Airport. And again, it raises about a third of our operational costs for the year so that we can be there making a difference. If you come into our center, we have an open house coming this next Tuesday from 4:30 to 7:30. It helps to see what we do sometimes and see our baby well. So some of our moms whose babies have been saved give us permission to have their babies' pictures. And so we put it on a wall. We don't have as many as I want, but we have a lot. And the first baby that was saved at the Boulder Pregnancy Resource Center, they just wanted to know about abortion. And so I just educated them on abortion. And they ended up choosing life in the end. They were so happy. They came into the center and brought us so many gifts because now they were madly in love with this little girl that they were going to terminate. That baby was born on Easter Sunday.
Oh.
Oh my God. Could do that. Only God. And I got on my knees that day and went into our ultrasound room after they left. And I was, I don't do this often. And I bawled and I just said, God, thank you for the people who paid for this ultrasound machine, the people who put, you know, pay for the rent and the, you know, all the medical supplies that we could be here. If it was just that one baby, I'd be happy. But we have many. Which changes the lives of the moms and dads. And this isn't just about their baby. This is about them. So thank you guys for listening.
For questions or comments, I know so much. I've been praying for it. As soon as I catch one now, I'm praying as I look there.
Amen.
I do catch yours. God, you're tough.
Kind of lost that. My wife and I support students for right, but I remember the old house. Is that it's been a different place now, I gather?
Actually, it's really a whole new center, but we operate under the same 501c3. Yes, we're right on Broadway, right between Mount or Mapleton and High Street. So we have a great location. Free parking behind the building. Thanks
Is
to
that the
Lauren
same
and
building
Yvonne.
closed down? Is that the same building that was 20+ years ago?
No,
Or is it?
no, it's a new building.
Thank you.
It's beautiful. So come to our open house or just come by and I'll give you a tour anytime.
Tanya, did you say the open house was this Tuesday?
It is Tuesday night from 4:30 to 7:30. And we're going to have some, you know, hors d'oeuvres and snacks and stuff. Because again, it's really important for people, I think, to see what they're supporting. It's really a beautiful place, you know, it's a safe place. We often hear the clients say, you know, it's really warm in here and inviting. And even some of the people in the building that rent from us come over and they're like, can we just hang out here?
So, is your ministry catching these women when you're torn between having the baby or having an abortion and you're encouraging them to have, is that, are they coming? to you guys. Not
yeah. Typically, that is our client here in Boulder. Those women who are either considering abortion or just riding the fence, the men and women. And so what we do is counsel with them. So we're going to talk to them about all their options. I can't tell a woman what to do. But God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So a lot of women and men have no clue what an abortion looks like. They don't know about adoption or even parenting. And so educating them is what we do with the hopes that they choose life. And then getting them an ultrasound as well. You know, 82 to 87% of the women and men who are going to terminate that child, when they see that baby on an ultrasound, change their minds.
Wow. Sure. Yes. Thinking about pregnancy care centers in general, obviously you need money to function. But my thought or question is, you know, what are the other needs to have a viable pregnancy care center that we need to be aware of that we could say pray for?
Gosh, there's a lot of needs. And God is so great to us. So supply all the things that the men and women need. So we go up to 2 years old in clothing and diapers and car seats, because we want to provide for them when they carry these babies and if they need those things. So we have churches and individuals who give us money to buy those things like car seats, or they do baby showers for us to provide those things. I need a staff and a team, you know, to help do all these things, and volunteers, the trainings that go into that cost us money to do that, as well as, you know, I am looking for a new campus director. So that'll be a paid position as well, that will be able to go on the campuses, help our student org. So we have a student organization on the CU Boulder campus. It's called CRO. The students named it. It's there, but we train them and help them. It's Campus Reproductive Resources. So it's a pro-life ministry helping pregnant and parenting students, you know, with resources and all the things that they need, educating them, helping them know, you know, what grants are available to them. As a pregnant student, they have a lot available to them that they sometimes don't know and think they have to quit college. Well, they don't. There's, you know, they can get into family housing now. They can get into, you know, a lot of the grants and then all the things that we provide for them as well. And then, you know, just marketing. As soon as Roe v. Wade was overturned, Google began blocking our ads. So when we would have 1,500 people go to our website a week, we now have 150 a month because they block our ads. But that's still the best way people find us, is on Google. So we know they're finding us. I had a client this week who was very young, and I said, how did you find us? And she said, I Googled you and you came up first.
Well,
that is Jesus Christ.
Amen. A couple more, Mick and Bud, I'm coming your way next. Do you provide postnatal, like showing them how to breastfeed? Do you have like a lady's present to help me do that?
We do. We have an expert. Her name is Becca. She's amazing. So she helps women with lactation. And then she also is a fertility awareness. So, you know, we do not do birth control at our center. But if, you know, married couples and women who are going to continue to have sex, hopefully we can help them to stop. But she also teaches women and men about their cycles, because God created us so amazing that women, and I didn't know this until I started working at the pregnancy center, can really only get pregnant one day out of the month. But because sperm lives 3 days, so there's like this 6 day window. So teaching women about ovulation, teaching women about their bodies. But what happens in that is that the men and women begin to talk and build a relationship.
Sure.
And so prayerfully, we saw one of our couples get married this last Christmas, and they couldn't wait to tell us, because we encourage them, if they're a couple and they're having a child, to get married.
Yeah.
So we'll I always say, we'll throw that wedding for you.
I just have one more for you, quick. So Google, have you considered Twitter?
We do have a Twitter account as well.
Okay.
We got locked out. of that. And now we just got access back in again on Instagram and Twitter. So thank you. If you guys know, I just have a gentleman who is starting a marketing business who came to me and said, I want to bless the ministry.
Wow.
It's thousands and thousands of dollars to pay somebody for that. That is how much God loves us to be here in Boulder, that he is now providing somebody like that.
Cool. Thank you, Connie.
Thank you, guys.